a new journey every day. Amen.
Yes, it is.
Amen. It's a good way to think about it. And God actually designed the world that way, so it would be easy for us to think of it that way. I like the creation story, the way it goes. I'm joined now also with our Facebook family is coming in to enjoy a message today. Amen. So we thank God for that. But think about how God made the world. The scripture says in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, right?
Amen.
And the earth was formless and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. Gives that understanding, and he talks about all the work that he did. Then it says in the evening and the morning were the first day. So he puts it in daily increments all the way up until 6 days when he created all things. That's a miraculous thing. And I just said that to highlight coming to a new day. Every time we look around, we get a new day. God gives you a fresh day to start things again. And think about the days that he took to create everything that there is. There's a lot of controversy about that in our world today. But I want to talk with you today on a kind of a connected subject from some of the previous messages that we have discussed up to this point. And of course, we've had a central theme throughout this year of Christ in You 2022. And as I said, I might be a poet and don't know it, but I'm not sure. And the fact is, we've been talking about how to have a more intimate relationship with God through Jesus Christ. Amen. And we always have to put emphasis on the person and the work of Jesus Christ, because that's the thing that the world is trying to sweep under the carpet, if you will, and act as though there's some other way you can approach God correctly. But we know the scriptures teach against that. Actually, time and the time sequence in the world teaches against that. Because the world is, this 2022 we're talking about is 2022 years since the first advent of Jesus Christ. So you can ignore all this other stuff if you want to, but that one's up in your face, baby. That's all I got to say. So I don't know who else you think is involved in that equation, but as far as I can see, nobody's in there but Jesus.
Yeah.
And so he is the one, and I think, I'm sure God did that so that it would be easy for people to trust his son, because it's his good pleasure to save you, no matter what your condition is. And to me, that's the best news in the world. I don't know why we would ever want to fight against a God that loved you so much that he gave his only begotten son and centered the whole world around him so it would be easy for you to embrace him, because he's in your face every day. You know, but people say, oh, you know, it was a big explosion, 49 billion years, which there's no proof of that anywhere, you know. But they won't look at the obvious, which is that calendar up in your face, 2022 years since the birth of Christ. So I keep putting it back in people's face for the good reason, that God wants you to trust his son, who he has centered in time, to make it easy for you to do that. Now, how do we do that? And even when we have trusted Christ, and we are called out by God, God has sent his church into the world to preach the good news. We don't have bad news. That's another thing. You wonder, how can anyone perceive it as being bad news if God gave his only begotten son to save you? How could you ever think that that's bad news? Not only that, but why would he do that unless, if there was any other thing he could do to save you, why would he do that? That's the question. So people want to put other stuff up and say this can save you, that can save you, or this, that, or the other, or him, her, and whatever it is. They say all kinds of stuff. But the truth is, only Jesus has defeated death and the grave. And so we talk about that around here a lot. And that's because it's a fact. You know, there wouldn't be anything to preach if Jesus was in a tomb somewhere, writing like everybody else who says they have a spiritual message for you. That wouldn't be a very good spiritual message to me. If you couldn't fix your own tomb, how are you going to fix mine? See, that's the truth. And that may sound elementary. But I want you to understand something today, that even though we are saved, those of us who are trusting in God's way of salvation, which is to put your faith entirely in Jesus Christ, his Son, whom he has raised from the dead. And that's the only reason we're preaching him. Preaching of Christ has been going on since the apostles were sent out. When Jesus told them to go, ye therefore preach the gospel to every creature. And it's called gospel. Mm-hmm. You know, that was the strangest word, one of the strangest words I ever heard when I first heard the word gospel. Gospel. What in the world? You know, it struck my ears and I didn't get much out of it. But it's gospel because that word is taken from a word that means good news.
Yeah.
And it's really the best news that's ever been heard in all of time. It's the very best news. It is the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's the good news that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And then he said, so that whosoever, that's a wide open door for every man, woman, boy, and girl on planet earth. Whosoever, any of you. You know what? He didn't take time to analyze what any of you are doing or what are you not doing. It's not about what are you doing or what are you not doing. It's about whoever you are, no matter who you are. Whosoever believes in him. That means trust in him. Now, when we say believe, I think a lot of people get off the bus right there. Believe is not some esoteric thing. It's simply to trust in him and him alone.
Amen.
It's to lean on him as though you were leaning up on a branch over a mountain cliff. And if I don't lean on it, this branch breaks, I'm going over. And that's it. I'm trusting this branch to keep me from tumbling over the cliff into destruction. Lean on him with all your dependence, with all your might. It doesn't have anything to do with anything else. The scripture says repent, which means change your mind about trusting anything else. And put your trust entirely in the work that Jesus the Christ, the Son of the living God, has done. Now you know what? That doesn't mean unacceptable behavior that God condemns is okay. It doesn't mean that. It just means that without him, as he said, you can do nothing. But in me, you can do all things. That's what the scripture says. So we need to change our mind about who we trust. And I want to say, I want to go on record, I trust in Jesus Christ only. Because when I personally evaluate my own works, I find out I come up short. You know what? If you do yours that way, I think you'll find something similar along those lines. You'll find that you have not done everything that God said you should do. And that doesn't excuse us to do that. And we were talking about this morning in Sunday school. It's not an excuse to do stuff that's wrong. But what it is, it is a prescription for how to get your life together so that you can do things that please God. Because he said, without me, you can do what?
Nothing.
See that? So you can try and say this thing here, that there, this system, that system. Start naming off all the false things that have made a claim to improving your life. You know what? An improved life without Jesus won't really help you at all. You know what? What would you look like if you fix yourself all up and do all that stuff you're going to do, saying, I don't believe Christ? And I don't trust him. And then you take all of that, whatever it was you did, carry it into hell and into the grave. What good is it?
No.
Matthew 16:26, Jesus said, what would it profit a man if he gained the whole world and lost his soul? Or what would a man give in exchange for his soul? What on this earth is worth your soul? You know what? When you leave, when you come in, you have zero. You come out naked, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's not just Pastor Fisher that comes out naked. I think everybody does.
That's right.
You come out naked. You have nothing. You own nothing. That's when you come in the Word. When you go out, guess what you own?
Nothing.
So think about that just a little bit. Doesn't make any difference how much you acquire in between, right? Let's say we can be the richest person in the world. Like somebody asked a question, oh, the rich man died. They said, oh, how much did he leave? And somebody said, all of it.
Oh, that's it.
Yeah, the rich man died. How much did he leave? Well, he was worth billions. How much did he leave? All of it. So that's how much you can take with you, right? So that's why the word says, what would it profit a man if he would gain the whole world and lose his soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for a soul? But in the meantime, I want to just say that you and I need to learn how in this relationship that God has ordained. God is the one that's preaching the good news. He's just doing it through an agency of human beings who is dispatched, which are known as the church. That means all of you, not just me, not just Christians. Everyone is called to share the good news with everyone else. See, and I like to make sure people understand that. They put a lot of load on the preachers. Yes, the preachers are going to preach, but what about you? You are preaching as well. Wherever you live and whatever sphere of life you have influence, your life is also a message. Not only that, but you should be verbal about this. You know why? Because it's better than the best stock news that you ever heard. But this here, you can take this stock with you when you go in the grave. You're going to need a few shares of Jesus. You're going to need at least a few shares of Jesus. So you might as well walk in right now and invest in Jesus. Get you a few shares of Jesus. Start with just one share. God said, get you one share right now today. He so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And I want you to know there's some stock in Jesus that you can take with you. You don't have to leave it here. It'll go with you. And dividends are unbelievable. People always want to talk about dividends and benefits. So I want you to see that God says, get you to start off with one share of Jesus. Trust in him with all your heart, like the Proverbs writer says. Don't trust in what you know or understand. Lean not on your own understanding. But then he said, in all your ways, acknowledge him. That doesn't mean only in the good ways. I need to acknowledge him in my evil ways. You don't hear much of that coming from the pulpit, do you? Why? Because church folk don't have evil ways? Is that what somebody's trying to say? I don't know what churches y'all been in. I've been in a lot of them. And I guarantee you, if you don't find evil ways in the parking lot, or in the cafeteria, or back in the vestibule, or somewhere, you can find some evil ways in the church. And so the interesting thing is we all have them, is the truth. But you just don't hear people being very vocal about that. We have our shares of Jesus, but we haven't been fully fixed yet. He's invested in you 100%. Because he was crucified on the cross for you. He was stripped of all of his earthly possessions that he had. I mean, even which he didn't have a lot. But they stripped the clothes off his back and beat him and mauled him. He had good health. They were trying to take that too. By whipping him and beating him and flogging him mercilessly. You know what? It wasn't a shock or a surprise. God said they were going to do it. He predicted accurately that they were going to do this to my son when he comes. He'll show up exactly like I said he did. And he did no harm. There was no deceit in his mouth. He never muttered an evil word against anyone. But yet he was found guilty by human courts that God had predicted. The scripture puts it in a few words as he came to his own. And his own received him not. Then he said, but unto as many as received him, to them he gave the authority to be called the children of God. Even those that believe on his name. As he give me a share of Jesus, I trust him. He belongs to me. Blessed assurance, the songwriter said, Jesus is mine. So when we receive Christ to be our Savior, you have victory immediately in one sense. But now, how do you work out all the kinks? How do you get where Jesus is now intermingled with my life in such a way that I start to obey the things that are right? How do we get there? How do you get from point A to point B? And I want you to know you have victory the day you trust Christ. And I want to preach this because there's a lot of people, you know, the people I'm preaching to, we're not much different than them. They make their way out of order according to God if they don't accept Christ. But if you trust Christ, that's what you need to do first,
is put all your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. The rest of the stuff, he'll show you how to deal with it. That's kind of like when you get a job. You get a job, you go in, you don't know exactly what they want you to do. But you go in and they hire you. Now I'm home, I'm in. But now I'm going to learn what to do in here. Right? So it's very similar to that as with a job. Although this is not a job, because God is giving you salvation. Jesus paid for it all. 100%. But he has to teach me and you how to walk by faith and not by sight.
All right.
So he gives you victory, and this is how it's done, through the word, which doesn't change. This is equal for every person who receives Jesus to be their personal Savior. Through the word and through the spirit. When you get that first share of Jesus, I like that metaphor, I'm going to stick with it for a minute. Then the spirit is given to you by faith. God doesn't even take time to say, well, let me see what sin is in your account. He's not looking at that. You know why? Because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There isn't anyone who has not sinned. And if the truth be told, there isn't anyone that still doesn't have a struggle with sin, even though God blessed you with perfect righteousness through Jesus Christ. I think we need to hear that more often. Now, some people have the idea, oh, the church folks is a bunch of hypocrites. You know what? I said, well, yeah, that's true. Now, come on in. We got plenty of room for more. Plenty of room for some more hypocrites over here. But you either are a saved hypocrite or you're a false hypocrite. Now, what kind do you want to be? I want to be saved. And you know what's more hypocritical for you to criticize somebody else? And I'm not criticizing, I'm just putting out the good news.
All right.
Because we accept everybody, no matter who they are. You know why? Because God has to fix your mess. I can't do it. I got my own mess to fix that needs fixing. Everybody does, if the truth be told. So the way you get victory is you accept the free gift that God has given. And it doesn't make any difference what you tangled up in, God will take you. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you, notice that, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Isn't that how it says in Matthew 11:28? Why? Because Jesus said, I am meek and lowly, and in me you will find rest for your souls. Only in him. That's why when you trust him, he's taking you right now. There's no obstacle, because he has already tasted death for you. He was wounded for your transgressions, Isaiah said. Bruised for your iniquities. Chastised for your peace. So that by his stripes we are healed. See that? So that's where you're at. You need to get in that club. I want to come in right now and receive the free gift of salvation by grace. Grace means unmerited favor, you would say. That's a good modern way to say what grace is. Grace is God's riches at Christ's expense. Y'all heard me say that before. He's given you his riches. That's G-R-A-C-E. God's riches at Christ's expense. He paid the bill to give you and me perfect righteousness. That's the only way I can receive it. It's the only way you can receive it. You know what? He doesn't have more grace for me than he does anybody else that's doing whatever they're doing. And I'm not trying to tell you what you're doing is okay, but he'll be the one that will fix you. He'll do it because he will do it through the word and his spirit. When you trust Christ, that's where you got to get in so you can get his spirit. When you trust in Christ, the Holy Spirit will be given to you. And then he will lead you and guide you to all truth. Is that what the word says? When you believe the gospel, the good news that God loves you and accepts you right there where you are, he will take you now. If you're not in him, it's your fault, not his. Because Jesus was spit on in order to receive you. He was mauled and beaten in order to accept you. He shed blood as long as he had to fulfill every word God said. And no human being, is only a human being, could do that. Somebody cut me right now in 5 minutes, if you don't get the blood stop, I'm out of here. That's how that is, for real. But he bled all night long and all day the next day and hung out on the cross from the sixth to the ninth hour until everything God said was finished. And he started to sweat, the scripture says, as it were, great drops of blood as he prayed before he went into this whole scenario to fulfill what God had said in his word. Now I want you to look at some things here because I'm trying to go somewhere and I don't want to spend too much time in exposition. But God gives you victory if you want it. He's not going to force it on you. But you have to receive it. You must tell God, I need Jesus. Because God said, I have provided Jesus. How do we know that? Because he said he so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Then he said that whosoever believes in him. I want to make sure whosoever understands that. If you're not saved, you haven't received it. It's not that God doesn't want you to have it. You must accept it yourself. You must say in your spirit and in your heart, I need Jesus. I want him to take care of my delinquent accounts. I want him to pay my sin bill in full. And he will do it. That's what he said. The offer of the gospel is free. So many people try to make folks think you need to jump through 45 hoops to receive. But that's a corruption of the truth. God said repent. That means make up your mind to do it his way. Stop trying to do it any other way. Deny yourself, Jesus said, right? Take up your cross and follow me. And the only way you can do that is by faith. You know what? If I had to say, oh, I can say I am doing better now than I used to. I'm still got some issues. I have to be truthful. But the fact is, I am doing better. Somebody would say, oh, you must have been really bad. Yes, that's true. That's absolutely true. I was really, really bad. I'm a little better today, let me say. And I'm heading in the right direction. That's the big thing. Is that, you know, I'm not slipping back. Sometimes you backslide and you go back and you take up something you used to do. But I know I'm not talking to church folks, so that don't happen to y'all. But the truth is, that's why the Lord set a table in the church. Because I know you're going to be slipping and dipping and tripping. Not that it's okay. But I put the table here so that you can come to the table. When you hear the truth, you can bring your hips to the table. And tell God you did it. And ask him to forgive you again. Knowing that the blood that Jesus shed was shed for all of your sins, not just for what you initially confessed. It's shed for all of your sin. And he's not an accomplice with me in my sin, but he is the Savior. He is the great high priest. He is the only one who lives forever in order to put an eternal barrier between my sin and holy almighty God. Without him, that's why I said, without him, you can do nothing. Because you have no cover. That's why the scripture says Jesus is a priest after the order of Melchizedek. In other words, he had no beginning of days, no end of life, and he abides eternally to put an eternal barrier between a wretch like me and holy God. And he is the only one who can put you in that position. So we have victory through the word and the spirit. The Holy Bible is the greatest book ever written. And for that matter, it's the greatest one that ever will be as well. There is not going to be anything better. Let me let you know right now. How do I know? Because the scripture says the heavens and the earth shall pass away. The earth and the heavens are destined to destruction. They will pass away, I guarantee you. Why? Because God said so. But then he said, but my words will never pass away. Yet there are many in the world who do not trust the Bible, and as well as some who misinterpret the Bible, and even others who use the Bible for disingenuous and even nefarious purposes. So you got people twisting the truth in its application in the world. And that goes on every day. And so people are somewhat distrusting because of all of that. But you know what I always recommend? Trust Christ first, because otherwise it's a closed book to you, whoever you are. And when you do trust him entirely, pick it up. Because something is going to happen. When you believe Christ for real, he is going to give you his spirit. And the Holy Spirit will be in you, Jesus said. And he will lead you and guide you to all truth. So he'll reach through all of the foolishness that people do concerning the Bible and open it to you so you can understand it.
Amen.
And so that's the beautiful thing about really getting serious and doing business with God, which you can only do through faith in Jesus Christ, no matter who you are. Somebody can say, hey, I believe the Bible, and they have all this other stuff. Well, let me say, you need Christ and Christ alone. When you have him and him alone, he will give you his Holy Spirit, who is God. And the Holy Spirit will reside in you. The scripture says you have been sealed, if you trust Christ, with the Holy Spirit of promise for the day of redemption. Now, how long does that last? That lasts from the moment you trust Christ till the day of redemption. That's after everything has been wrapped up. So even though people are using the scripture for disingenuous and nefarious purposes, and they do, but that's the devil how he goes about, and there's people who think they use it for profiting and all kinds of other stuff. But just how should we understand all these different reactions to the word of truth, which God dispensed through 40 authors over 1,600 years for the purpose of saving all the people who would believe it and walk in it? This is what God did. He gave you his word so that you can believe it and walk in it. But you won't be able to do it without the Christ, the Messiah. That's his son, Jesus. Now, of course, he came to his own, and his own received him not. That's what the word says. So there's still people who are in that people group known as Israel who do not believe Christ, even today. And we appeal to them first on a first-hand basis, but not just to them, because the gospel is to every creature.
Amen.
To the Jew first and also to the Gentile.
Yes.
The Gentiles are just any other people group except the Jews.
Amen.
In case you need a definition. So I want you to listen to our lesson today, which will shed some light on how all who believe God's word, that he is the Bible, can experience victory through the word and through the Spirit. Here's an example from the Old Testament. Zechariah chapter 4, the first six verses written by the prophet Zechariah. It says this in verse 1, and the angel that talked with me, this is Zechariah the prophet, came again. That means he had been there before, he came again, and he waked me. He was asleep. And the angel woke him up as a man that is waking out of his sleep. And he said unto me, what seest thou? And I said, I have looked, and behold, a candlestick of all gold, and a bowl upon top of it, and with seven lamps thereon, and seven pipes, and to the seven lamps, which are upon the top thereof, and two olive trees by it, one upon the right side of the bowl, and the other upon the left side thereof. So I answered and spake unto the angel that talked with me, saying, what are these, my Lord? And the angel that talked with me answered and said unto me, knowest thou not what these be? And I said, no, my Lord. Then he answered and spake unto me, saying, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Now, that is the word of the Lord. I want you to see there, by that illustration, that there are things that God has said in his word. There are things that happen in this world and in your life that you need God to explain to you what it is. God, the Holy Spirit, will give you understanding of things you do not understand. This writer wrote the truth. He said, the angel asked him, don't you understand that? He said, no. You know, it's okay to say, no, I don't get it. I don't understand it. But you know what? When you talk to God in the New Testament, what we experience is not, we do have the ministry of angels. According to Hebrews 1:14, it talks about, are not all those angels ministering spirits that are sent forth to minister to those who are the heirs of salvation? And the answer to that is yes.
Yes.
So there are ministering angels that are in our lives every day, whether we notice it or not.
Mm-hmm.
But the truth is, the New Testament believer who trusts Christ, turns from doing it his own way, is given the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
That's God, the second person of the Godhead, or third person, some people say. It doesn't make a difference. They're all the same. All three are the same in the fact that they are one.
Yes.
But the fact is, the Holy Spirit is a New Testament paradigm that came about when Jesus was crucified, and it is the normal way things are done now. Ever since the first advent of Christ up until now, and until the trumpet sounds. So everyone who trusts Christ now receives God, the Holy Spirit, into your life.
Amen.
And he is there to interpret the book for you. God's word is not going to change. Everything we need for time and eternity is found here in a nice, neat little package. So through these two entities, God's word, rightly divided by God's Spirit, we can have victory as we go through the world. He will lead you and guide you to how much truth? All truth. Isn't that what it says? It doesn't mean just what God said. It means all truth. Period. Anything that's true, whether it be, as we like to say today, which I don't believe in, secular or religious. People make a distinction. You know what? Everything is truly, and I'm not saying religious, but let's say everything is spiritual. What people call secular, that's you wanting to ignore the spiritual. That's all that is. So the truth is, we need the Holy Spirit in order to lead us and guide us to all truth. Kind of like what we see here, Zechariah was going through. Now, we can conclude this. I just want to give you a few things to think about here. God's word is spiritual, and therefore must be understood through divine revelation from God, and cannot be known without direct intervention by God, which he gives to those who believe in him and are called by faith to receive this understanding, which is a supernatural gift that you receive upon salvation. When you get saved, you trust Christ Jesus, the Messiah, the God that sent. God gives you the Holy Spirit, now the interpreter, you have the witness in yourself.
Amen.
That's the way the word says. So we have to learn to rely on the internal witness of the Holy Spirit that's given to us by faith. So the prophets from Moses to Malachi, that would be considered the Old Testament, and all others who believed God by faith were granted special revelation in which God promised a seed, all the way from Genesis chapter 3, right? Verse 15, which was utilized by God to preserve a people for his own possession, which also provided a human course through which Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, was delivered to the world to be the only Savior of all people who trust in him alone for their salvation. So that's the main theme running through the scriptures from Genesis to Malachi. And now I want you to look at a New Testament example and we're done. The Apostle John writes to the New Testament church, which would include you and me and whoever else, and any believing Jews or Gentiles, anywhere. He said, love not the world, 1 John 2:15. Neither the things that are in the world, if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but of the world. And the world passeth away in the lust thereof, and he who doeth the will of God will abide, he abideth forever. Little children, it is the last time. And as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now there are many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. Look at all the Antichrist stuff going on in the world. This is how you know it's the last time. Verse 19, they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that it might be made manifest that they were not all of us. But ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. That's talking about the Holy Spirit indwelling a believer in Jesus Christ. Verse 21, I have not written unto you because you know not the truth, but because you know it, and that there is no lie of the truth. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist, that denieth the Father and the Son. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father, but he that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also. Let that therefore abide in you which ye have heard from the beginning. If that which ye have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, ye shall continue in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he hath promised us, even eternal life. Now, finally, I want you to know eternal life is not about an amount of time. It begins the moment you believe.
Amen.
When you believe, eternal life begins.
Amen.
According to Jesus, in John 17:3, Jesus said, "This is life eternal." That's the definition. "That they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent." If you want a definition of eternal life, get it from John 17:3. Right from the lips of Jesus. "Is to know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent." That's eternal life. It begins when you trust Christ. When you get your share in Jesus, that's when eternal life begins. You move out of death into life instantly. God, the Holy Spirit, dwells in you, and he will never leave you nor forsake you. No matter what happens to your body. That's why we say we don't worry about folks when they pass away in Christ.
Amen.
Because they're in a different category than people who are not in Christ.
Amen.
They started eternal life when they believed Christ, and it just keeps on going.
Yeah.
It's not hindered nor stopped nor delayed by the grave. See, and that's why when all things are ready to be wrapped up, God says that the Lord himself, that's Jesus, shall descend from heaven with a shout.
Amen.
And he will bring with him those who died in Christ. They're coming back with him. Where are they now? They're with him.
Yeah.
And when he comes back to collect the rest, they will be with him. And then it says, "The dead in Christ, speaking of the body, shall rise first. Then we who are alive and remain as believers who are alive and remain on the earth shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus shall we ever be with the Lord." See? So that's the blessed hope, to be alive at the time when God finalizes these transactions. So the Apostle John gives believers a spiritual prescription for the application of God's word to every matter in this life, which is summarized according to the focus of the love of the word of God and guided by the Spirit of God to produce and maintain the works of God in the people of God, who are the ones who walk by faith and not by sight. Amen. Isn't that a wonderful way to think of it? Amen. So if you are not in Christ, I want to give you an opportunity today to receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Amen. We recommend, not only do we recommend, but you know the gospel is actually a command.
Yeah.
Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. That's a command. God is commanding every man, woman, boy, and girl everywhere, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. If you reject him, you have no other choice but to choose condemnation for yourself. So right now, I want to say a word of prayer, and we'll invite anyone on Facebook or even in the room or in the building to pray with me. Lord, in the name of Jesus, we bless you right now. Father, we have heard the proclamation of the gospel, and it is our great privilege, the greatest and highest that we have, to make known the mystery of the gospel, that you have loved the world and given your son, so that whosoever, no matter who they are, no matter what kind of thing might be in their life, you said if you trust in Christ, you shall be saved. And so, Father, right now we come with the free offering that you have given us the privilege to preach to every man, woman, boy, and girl. No matter who you are, trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Lean not to your own understanding. Give him your heart right now, and he will give you his salvation and his spirit. And this transaction was ordained in heaven eons ago before time began. And it can start for you right now. You can come out of this world and this system of death and enter into life right now by grace through faith in Jesus Christ, God's only begotten Son. And we know this. How do you know, preacher? Somebody may be thinking. I want you to know we know because when he had tasted death for every person, he got out of the grave after 3 days and nights and declared, "All power is given to me in heaven and earth, unlike any other person has ever done in the history of time." You can trust him right now with your soul and with your life. And you do it by faith. Simply believe the gospel, the good news, that God loves you just like you are, and he loves us too much to leave us like we are. And then receive him. Right now, the Bible says, "To as many as receive him, to them he gives the authority to be called the children of God."
Yes.
Even those that believe on his name. So adopt somebody right now, Father God, who is trusting in your Son, Jesus Christ, the risen one. Bring them in. Let them know. Fill their heart right now with the Holy Spirit, Lord God. Bless them right now and lead them and guide them. Let them know that they have been sealed for the day of redemption. And we give you praise. We give you glory. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. And the church say it together. Amen. Give God a hand. Listening on Facebook, they can receive the Lord to be their personal Savior. But we give you the opportunity right now. Sometimes people are saved and they need a church home. But we are dedicated to teaching the Word of God and making the Word clear as possible. And so if you're here today and you're seeking a church home, perhaps you are already saved. And even if you're not saved, you can come at this time. And we will be able to give you the right hand of fellowship, amen, which is our great privilege to do so. Amen. We give you that opportunity at this time. Amen. I want to thank God for the